Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. You can find me on the web at turnerstake.com. And if you're a farmer or hedger, turnerstakeag.com. Broker here at Daniels, work with hedgers, speculators, broker-assisted clients. Also, online trading. We have a fantastic online trading platform and phone app. Most popular category here is the hybrid, where it's a mix of both, working with me and also having all the bells and whistles of online trading and analytics. So if you have any questions for us, feel free to let me know. Happy to talk to anyone trading or involved in these markets. And let's just go from there. Okay, so today is Wednesday the 26th. We're crawling towards the end of September here. We've got the quarterly grain stocks report on Friday at 11 a.m. Central. Typically, the September stocks for corn and soybeans do not have a lot of surprises. Marketing year starts step one. So really, you know, the quarterly stocks are basically what, you know, we're thinking what the old crop ending stocks are, right? Whatever the stocks are in that last quarter is what should match up with old crop. So, you know, we've been talking about between a 390 and a 400 for soybeans. So ending stocks for old crop soybeans, 390 to 400 million. That's where we're going to think the step one stocks come in at. For old crop corn, about 2 billion. You know, we could be 50 million up or higher or lower. But about $2 billion we're expecting on the quarterly stock step one. And again, that's going to be basically where we think the old crop ending stock's final number is going to be. With when you get surprises to the bullish side for corn and soybeans in those old crop stocks, they tend to be more muted than the December, March, or June reports, because even if we don't have as much old crop on hand as we may think, which we don't know what's going to happen, but if it does, there's all this new crop coming out of the ground, right? So, you know, to have a big miss in quarterly stocks, let's say that's bullish, in December, March, and June, can have some pretty, you know, have the potential to have a big rally in the grain markets, depending on where we're starting off at. In September, that's a little more muted because there's, you know, we're in harvest right now. So that's just the reality of it. I don't think there is going to be a big surprise, the September quarterly stocks. I mean, we've got, it's not like we're coming in with a billion ending stocks on corn or, you know, 100 ending stocks on soybeans. We're at 2 billion and 400. So we're adequately supplied or even burdensome a little bit. Combine that with the new crop coming on board. Probably not a big deal. Where we could see some surprises is wheat. You know, this time of year, you know, you can see some disappearances, or, you know, the USDA can make bigger changes to the wheat supply up or down. I think the risk on that right now might be down. We haven't seen much exports for the wheat, and with the wheat prices compared to where corn is, it's hard to see wheat for feed being a huge demand, especially with corn where we are. So you would think maybe there's a potential for a bearish adjustment in quarter, you know, for wheat. But I don't know. We'll have to see on Friday. I'm not expecting fireworks either way. We are setting up. We have been starting to plug and chug our supply and demand numbers, not just for old crop, which is the 17-18 crop, the new crop, the 18-19, but also the 19-20. So we're going to go over that a little bit and how we see things shaken out, you know, for the rest of the fourth quarter. So if we have a 182 yield for corn, we're going to I still think we have about a 1.7, 1.8 billion carryout. That probably puts the average futures price around 350 for Dec. You know, we're up a little bit above that now. I think we're were basically saying, you know, for the, we're expecting higher exports, but we're also expecting a good crop. We are hearing some of the field reports. We're saying, you know, they have been some mixed reports on the corn for yields. Hasn't been, you know, too mixed, but, you know, I mean, we're going to be over 180 yield, I think. I don't think this 178 or 179 talk. I don't think USDA is going to lower yields. Maybe they don't bump them up a whole lot, but I could think, I could see us be at 182, 183 when it's all said and done. I think exports could be 2.5 billion. And that still puts us at a 1.7 or 1.8 billion carryout. So it's not tight. It's not burdensome. It's actually fine. You know, corn prices can live in the mid to high threes in that area. And then we'll just have to see what happens next year. So that's what it's looking like. I do think once we get through the stocks report, we get farther into harvest, we start seeing some demand, you know, those demand reports coming out with the export sales to the USDA. We'll see. We could have potential for higher prices. I think we'll be supported around that 350 area. I wouldn't rule out runs to the 370s or 380s. I do think at that point, though, it gets tough to rally in corn when we're still at a stock to usage over 10% and a 1.7 or 1.8 billion carryout. Plus, we're in harvest. Plus, we're going to have the start to the South American growing season. They are getting rains, which is good for the soil moisture. It's no, you know, there's no dryness up there to start off with, it looks like. So I think that's and that's just kind of be the range. I'm not so worried about prices going to blow 340 anymore. But on the flip side of that, I'm not optimistic for us going to $4 either. And that's just the, you know, the way we'll play it. I think if you need to buy grain, we drop down to the 350s. That's probably a good coverage point. If you're looking to sell grain, if we can rally up into the 370s, 380s, you'll probably look to do that. I get the feeling for most farmers, they're going to store everything they can and what they can't. They'll try to sell in a rally here over the next month or so as they're harvesting. And if they can't, you know, you're going to have to maybe store it. If they can't store it, sell it and buy something on the ball, on the board. I think that's how it's going to work. What's interesting with new crop next year, we've been trying to figure out, you know, what happens if we get, you know, there's going to be an acreage shift, you know, with beans where they are right now. And if things don't change between, let's say, now and January, you know, farmers are going to have to figure out how many acres they're going to plant. And assuming no Chinese deal, which that's where I'm assuming right now. I am assuming there's no deal done with China between now and February. And prices, you know, are going to be around the same, you know, in the eights for beans and in the mid to, you know, in the mid threes, maybe higher threes for corn. And let's call it $5 or around there, maybe a little bit better for the winter wheat. Six for spring wheat. You know, what's going to happen, you know, in there? You would think corn would go from 89 million acres to probably 93. Maybe we gain 4 million acres on corn. You know, at a 178 trend yield, you know, we're only adding, we're adding probably 200 to 300 million bushels on ending stocks year over year. And if exports and ethanol look pretty good, if exports are about 2.3 billion, you know, maybe, you know, I think that's okay. I don't think that's that bearish of a number. If we're at 90, just to give you an idea of what's kind of neutral, gaining 3 million acres in corn next year with a 178 trend line yield is pretty much year over year neutral. Where if we end the new crop year, 18-19, at what, 1.8 billion, if next year we gain 3 million acres in corn at 92 and have a trend line yield of 178, we're going to be right around most likely that 1.8. You know, so it's going to be neutral for the crop. That's assuming there's no drought in South America this year, or, you know, bumper crops of record levels somewhere. Just the average year, which, I mean, how often do we have average years all over the world? But, you know, just to kind of give us a little bit of a price range where we could be. Anything over 92 million acres on the estimates is going to be net bearish for corn. So if you think we're going to have 93 or 94 million acres next year and DEIS 19 gets to $4 or something like that, that could be a price for forward sales or on the board. You know, you're doing a certain percentage, 10%, something like that. That would be an interesting play. We're going to do more than that because you never know what's going to happen. We can always be at 90 million acres. We can have 175 yield. We could have drought in South America. Then I can start making the case of why prices should be 425, 450, right? But, you know, I think it's gone to shown over the past 5 years. If you're a farmer, you're making some sales at $4. That ended up looking pretty good by the end of the year. So that's something I would keep in mind as we go forward. And, you know, we're going to be talking about the demand side of the equation, and we do expect demand to be good, but production's going to be good. We got to start thinking about next year. Some of the best sales we've done, especially when we have carry markets, have been, you know, for the next year. If you have a lot of old crop on storage, or you know you're going to have to be making a lot of sales because you have a lot of inventory, I still like buying those July calls. We were buying 420s for a nickel, you know, when we were back at 340 in the D's front month. You know, I still like the 420, 470 call spreads that I've been talking about. Something to sell into when we get a rally later this year or in the spring and summer. It's just, I find it easy. I find the farmers pull the trigger. You know, I'm sure a lot of guys out there wish they had sold corn when it was over four and didn't. I'm telling you, it is so much easier to make that sale when you have a call on from starting from now or that call spread to sell into. It's just, I was on AgriTalk after the bell on Monday, and Chip Flory calls them courage calls. I mean, and I think what he means by that is, you know, it gives you the comfort to make those sales, you know, because it's tough. It's hard to make sales in the spring and the summer when the markets are rallying because you don't want to miss out on further upside. So I get it. I kind of like the term. I know he says it jokingly, but it makes sense. So anyways, if you do want to listen to that, you can always go to the After the Bell Chip Flory's website and hear me on that Monday program. That is still up there on their website. So that's where we're looking for corn. Low side is probably I can't imagine D's corn going below 340. Maybe, you know, if the USDA confirms a big stock, we don't get the exports that we want, and we come into, like, the end of November during first notice day and those deliveries are happening, I can see us getting down there. But between now and there, I can also see us going up another 10, 15, maybe 20 cents in the corn market. So that's where we are with corn, and if we're going to play the range in the fourth quarter, but we're also going to be trying to use this range to put on something for next year's crop. You have any questions about that? You want to talk about it, make something specific for your program? Let me know. I'm happy to do that. Also be putting some of those ideas in Turner's Take Ag Marketing. For soybeans. All right. Here's the thing with soybeans. I mean, we're still looking at like a mid 700 ending stocks. You know, for the yield is 52 or, you know, 53, something like that. We're talking 800 million, you know, that's what we're probably looking at right now, 800 million ending stocks. That's not great. And the thing is, you know, and the people we talk to right now in the fields, everyone is saying how good their soybeans are. So let's say the USDA does inch up the soybean production number. Say worst case scenario in my mind right now, we have an ending stocks of 900 million, right? Before we really start adding demand to it. And I know the story, you know, China's coming in buying more soybeans than Brazil and Argentina can supply. So Brazil and Argentina turn around and buy beans from the United States. I get it. You know, we saw a big sale with Mexico today, like 650,000 metric tons. Keep in mind that's about 20 million bushels, which is nice, but we need to shed 500 million bushels from the ending stocks. So 20 million bushels out of 500 million is a bit of, you know, a glass of water in the lake here, but it helps. It definitely helps, but it didn't help hold the rally today in soybeans either. After that news came out, we spiked up and came right back down. So here's the thing with soybeans. We need to lose 500 million bushels off this balance sheet in some way, shape, or form. Now, 250 of that can happen a snap of a finger when there's a trade deal done. The problem is I don't see any reason why it get done between now and the election. Like, it's no benefit at all for China to do that. Two, I don't see the point of them doing it. You know, if they can find ways to drag this out, and it's become very political, I mean, if they, I don't know, maybe a game of chicken. A lot of egos, a lot of politics going on in here. And there's also bigger issues involved. This whole IP thing intellectual property is a bigger deal to both the United States and China than, unfortunately, the agriculture markets are. So, I mean, I'm going to say 100%, 99% chance we don't get a deal done before the midterms. I would say, I think there's more than a 50% chance that we do not get this done between now and, let's say, the ag forum, which is end of February, right? Now, here's the problem with that. Farmers have to make planting decisions, alrighty? If we're making planting decisions based on prices now or close to them, I really don't see how soybean acres are anywhere close near the 89 million we had this year. I think it's more likely we come down to 84, 85. I know Informa said 83, I think. I can see us losing 5 million acres in soybeans, go from 89 to 84. Of that, maybe 4 million, 3 million go to corn. That's how you get that 92, 93 area. And some of it goes to wheat, right? And, you know, some of it maybe go straight, a switch for soybeans to wheat. You know, like in the, up in the Dakotas, you know, northern Minnesota, like that wheat country area up north, or maybe in the western part of the Corn Belt, Kansas and, you know, other places that plant a lot of wheat in that western part of the belt. And maybe it's a straight switch from beans to winter wheat. Maybe it's more, maybe they, you know, we have winter wheat acres and then a shorter seasonal variety of soybeans. So it gets there somehow, right? And I think now if we lose 5 million acres of soybeans next year and we have a trend line yield of, let's say, 50, which I think is appropriate, that's 250 million bushels. So I said earlier we need to lose 500 million bushels. Coming down, every million acres we lose, that's 50 million that's going to come off the balance sheet. So 5 million acres lower, that's 250 million. That's half of what we need to come back down by. The other half gets done with the trade deal. So what's interesting about soybeans is, let's say that there's no trade deal done before February. Let's say farmers make the decision that they got to plant less beans. So we could be at the ag forum with, you know, maybe instead of ending stocks being like 900 now, maybe they get reduced 250 to 650 for next year's crop because the acres come down so much. But then let's say in March or April, China and the United States come to a deal. Then all of a sudden ending stocks are at 400 million. Now we're talking a situation where we could have $9, $10, $11 beans, right? So that's the bullish case scenario. The bearish case scenario, which I'm concerned about, is that no deal with China gets done. We have 85, 86 million beans, and year over year, we're still at about 600 to 700 million carryout. And in that case, we're still in this, I don't know, 700 million carryout. Let's call that, still $8 beans. Like, maybe on the weather rallies, we go to the low nines. You know, if everything's looking great, we're in the mid eights. And I think that's kind of where we live. So if you're trying to sell soybeans, if you're marketing soybeans, you know, probably the thing to do is you store what you can. You know, I don't see anyone making any money here with where bean prices are and the basis being so bad. It's more likely to sell corn and wheat if that's also what you have that you've grown and buy them back on the board. If you absolutely have to sell beans, I think you got to use part of that money and buy futures or buy some, you know, because I don't like buying the calls. You don't know when the steel's going to done. Soybeans become very difficult to market because now you're not just waiting on the acreage reduction, but you're also waiting on China and the United States getting a tariff deal done. And I don't know. I mean, I can't see it happening anytime in the very near future. So that's tough. It's tough to use the futures market for that. So I think you store as many beans as you possibly can, reduce your acres next year, and hopefully things are better next year. I do think things get better, but I just want everyone to know that we got to shed 500 million bushels off descending stocks, and it happens through yield reduction, only gets us part of the way. Not yield reduction, acre reduction only gets us part of the way. I mean, think about this, all right? Let's say this issue, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but just academically, let's just say the China and the United States go into a new Cold War for the next 10 years, all right? And this trade tariff thing drags on forever, or until the next president, or whatever, right? So now we got to shave off 500 million bushels only by acres, all right? That means we got to come from about 89 million acres planted to 79 million acres planted, right? Or maybe another scenario would be, I'm going to put you on pause for a second, do a little math here. All right, just had to do a little math there. I mean, maybe 2 years in a row of low 80s acreage would eventually get us to, you know, to ending stocks where we're closer to 400 or 500 million. And, you know, then again, bean prices are in the high nines, tens, you know, up maybe up to 11 on a weather rally. But that's what it's going to take. I mean, the work we have ahead of us in the soybean market is going to be Chinese deal plus 5 million acres less, or no Chinese deal and 2 years of acres in the low 80s. All right. And that's how we get there. So the soybean issue does not get solved overnight. It's something that, you know, is going to take a year or two to work through. And I think it's going to be very tough for, you know, for farmers here. Hopefully, you know, the wheat and the corn can help. The better marketing opportunities and the better prices than wheat and the corn will hopefully help with the soybeans. But again, that's the probably the most bearish part, that two-year plan of low, you know, acres in the low 82, 83, 84 million. The most bullish scenario I can come up with soybeans is we do lose the acres and then the trade deal with China comes, you know, let's say February or on, right? And that's when, you know, not only do you have the lower acreage, but then you get the Chinese deal done. And that's how, you know, soybeans goes up $1.50 or $2 really on that kind of combo. So, and then there's all the other scenarios that are in between, you know. That would be the most bullish case, most bearish case, probably, in realistic terms. I mean, I guess you could say, hey, you know, South America loses its whole crop, well, you know, then we're off to the races. But barring an act of God, I think those are kind of the, I think I have the bookends for the most bullish and bearish realistic cases over the next year or two. So we're going to have to, you know, market that all, you know, and figure out how to do that. With wheat, I still like wheat, but the thing is, I think we could have a rally in wheat. It's all going to depend on how much high quality and exports Ukraine and Russia can do. And if they start running out, does the United States become where the world buys it from? And if it does, we need to see these exports. They have to be on the books, reported by the USDA. Until we see that, it's hard to see the market's really rallying. I mean, I can see us up 10 or 20 cents, and, you know, you get reports from, you know, Europe about, you know, Australia about the, you know, the crop conditions. But to get the big rally, to get the sixes or the 650 in winter wheat, it's got to start showing up on those in those exports. So we'll keep an eye on it. And once we do, I think it's a buy. But until then, I think you got to sit on your hands. So that's what we'll be doing. If you have any questions, let us know. Thank you for everyone who listens. We appreciate all our listeners. If you do have that that podcast app, it's on, you know, like on an iPhone, and you can go to the podcast app that comes with it. Please review us if you like this. The more reviews we get, the more people who follow us, the more of these things that we can do, more resources I get from the firm. I appreciate everyone who passes this along and Turner Steak. So have a great week. We'll see what happens on Friday, and hopefully we get some better prices sooner rather than later for the farmers out there. All right. Take it easy, everyone.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.daniels.com. www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.